And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Truth Warrior. Thanks for tuning in tonight. I've got a very important show to go through with you this evening. It's an honor to be here. My name is David Whitehead, your host, and we are broadcasting live from truthfrequencyradio.com. And today it is Monday, July 14th, 2014. And I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's been going on in the media. If you are, a lot of what you're being told, in my opinion, is completely backwards from really what's taking place. And of course, I'm referring to the situation that is breaking down as we speak in Gaza, in the state of the Palestinians and the Israeli conflict, quote unquote. It's more like a invasion on a completely helpless area of land that has been basically sequestered and used for purposes of controlling that land and that population. And we're going to be getting into that. And I know that this is a very controversial issue. I know that people are in all kinds of heated debate all over the internet right now. And in some senses, I think at least it's good that people are talking about this and they're taking some time to focus their energy and their attention on it. I think that we absolutely do need to look at this, and we have to look at it rationally. We have to look at it holistically, and we have to look at it from a historical context first and foremost, and really get into understanding the history of this situation, the history of the oppression, and the mass genocide that has been carried out against the Palestinians for, basically since the founding of the state of Israel. And I know that a lot of people will be up in arms and call me anti-Semitic, but there's a huge difference between attacking somebody's religious position, attacking somebody's cultural background, their race, their sex, their creed, and just attacking something that is a flat out lie and something that needs to be exposed. Because I'm not here to say anything negative about any particular race of people or any group or any religious sect. I'm here to point out evil and violence and genocide and criminality when I see it, to the best of my understanding and to the best of my knowledge. And I think it's important that we look at both sides. And I was told the other day, I was posting a few articles and things on my Facebook page, and I was told by somebody, well, of course, there's two sides to every story. And I say, yeah, friggin' right, man. Friggin' right, there's two sides. And what we're being told by the media is only one side. And I would suggest to you that that side is heavily spun and that what you're getting is very filtered information. And we have someone coming on the show tonight, a very special guest. I have a lot of respect for this man. He is a truth warrior. He is a modern day philosopher, and he's a great person. He's been on the show before. And of course, he's the one only Max Egan. We're bringing him on the show because he actually has been to Palestine, to Gaza, at the risk of his own life. He has friends there on the ground. He's been working with groups all over the world and researchers and people all over the world to try to shed light on what's really taking place there. And so I thought it'd be good to bring somebody onto the show tonight who has a very seasoned background in what's going on in that area. And it is a great honor to have him on. If you're not aware of who Max Egan is, you're definitely missing out. You need to go to thecrowhouse.com. Check out his website. I've been following his work for years. He's a documentary filmmaker. He has a radio show. He's does interviews. He travels the world. He does conferences, and he brings light to many, many issues that affect us all. So tonight we are going to be having a very serious and enlightening conversation with Max. And it's important that we do that. It's important that as adults, as modern day truth warriors, that we get together and we talk about these things, and we do it in a careful, respectful, and truthful manner. And it's just an honor to be able to have Max on the show. So Max, welcome back to Truth Warrior, brother. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me here tonight. So welcome to the show, brother.
Pleasure to be here, David. Thanks for asking me on. And it's like you say, it's very important that we do put some focus on this issue. So it's a pleasure to be here doing so. Well, pleasure. When I say pleasure, it's not a pleasure that I have to be. It's not a pleasure that it's happening at all. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to come and set some light on the issue, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I wanted to have you on. And I just want you to know, I know it's been an emotional roller coaster for you. You've got some friends and people that you care deeply about. And of course, anybody that has any humanity left that is witnessing the situation. We've got almost 200 people that have been killed. We've got thousands of people fleeing their homes. We've got all kinds of things going on behind the scenes that a lot of people are not aware of. And I wanted to just start the show off, Max, with actually the quote of the day from your website. I was just checking it out. I love the archive of quotes that you post. I love when somebody can sum things up in one or two sentences. And I just wanted to read it to set the tone for the show with you today. And the show, this quote comes from Dante Alighieri, and it says, "The hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a time of great moral crisis, maintain their neutrality." And Max, what do you think? Are we not suffering from that on a colossal scale here in the West?
We are. We are collective neutrality. You know, we just don't want to get involved. Oh, there are two sides to every story. You know, well, yeah, there are two sides. And like you say, we're only hearing one. It's really important that people focus on what is actually going on in the Gaza Strip. Put all the stuff out of your mind about how, whether these people are terrorists or whatever. Well, they are human beings, you know, and you've got to look at what Gaza Strip is. Gaza Strip is not a hotbed of terrorists like people tell you. Even Hamas, the government, democratically elected government, which is in control of the Gaza Strip, and which is simply government Israel didn't like, consists of only a few hundred people at most, okay? A few hundred people. There are 1.8 million people in the Gaza Strip. 900,000 of them are children. They are held in what is essentially the world's biggest open-air prison. They have a wall around three sides of their country, and they have an ocean on the other side of their country that they are not allowed to use. If they use the ocean, they get shot. They can go for a swim, but they can't go fishing. They can't do any of that sort of stuff because there are Israeli gunboats that don't let them use the ocean. So they're trapped in this prison. And that's what Israel is currently waging a war against, right? These people have been locked in there. They've been sanctioned. They have no supplies. The only weapons they have are homemade fertilizer-powered pipes. Of the thousands of rockets that Israel says it's defending itself against, there has not been one Israeli casualty from, you know. And we've got to really look at how this current conflict started, what's actually going on in Gaza Strip at the moment. I mean, a few weeks ago, there were three teenagers that were kidnapped in the West Bank. That's how all this started to turn ugly. And it was never proven that these teenagers were kidnapped by Hamas or anything, but they just whipped up a storm and went and bombed Gaza, which is not even West Bank. It's a different place, you know. So it's absolutely horrendous what's going on there, David. It really is. But look, these three teenagers were kidnapped, and then the Israeli government knew that they were dead the day that they were kidnapped, because one of the teenagers was actually on the phone to the police saying, "We've been kidnapped." And yeah, they heard him get shot. And the kidnappers were speaking Hebrew. So it's very debatable whether these were Arabs who killed these kids or whether they're just right-wing Israeli extremists. Because whoever would do this, I mean, the only possible outcome would be the obliteration of Palestine. So whoever did this wanted Israel to go to war with Palestine. So there's clue number one of who may have done it. But it was never proven that they were Hamas, and the Israeli government knew they were dead straight away, but they didn't tell the public. They withheld the information, and they whipped up a racial frenzy for 10 days. And then they went into the Gaza Strip, a completely different area, miles away from Hebron where the youths were killed, and they started bombing the refugees in the Gaza Strip. This is completely unacceptable. There's been, of the other day, there was 172 people killed, mostly women and children. They've been bombing special needs centers, schools, mosques. They bombed two cemeteries. They bombed the Fun on the Beach cafe where the families were gathered to watch the World Cup. This is one of the only places in Gaza Strip where there's actually grass and you can take your family and you can have a nice day out. There's rides for the kids. They bombed it. They covered the beach in body parts. You know, they've been obliterating this place for hours and days. They've killed hundreds of people, injured about 1,200 or 1,300 people. I don't know what the death count is now. There has not been one Israeli death, and they're calling this self-defense, and they're calling it a war. And the media is calling it a war. And you need two armies to have a war, David. You can't have a war with the world's largest military force on one side, one of the world's most powerful militaries in the world, maybe not the largest, but it's got the most sophisticated weaponry in the world, against a refugee camp of 900,000 children and about 800,000 adults, half of which are female, and of the male population, less than 1% of them owns or has ever fired a gun. And I know this for a fact because I've been there myself. You know, and what we're getting from the media, we're seeing all of this rhetoric that we need to go and support Israel. And they've also turned it around the way they do. They sidestepped the way they did with Iraq. Remember we went into Iraq to, because of, Al-Qaeda? And then, oh no, it's weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons
and
of
then,
mass, yeah.
Oh no, it's this. They kept shifting. Oh no, we're here for this. They kept shifting the reason why we were there. They started this war because of three youths. And now they're saying, oh no, this war is because Hamas won't stop firing rockets. But Hamas didn't stop firing rockets until you started bombing them. And now you're saying you're not going to stop bombing them until they stop defending themselves. That's actually what's going on. They turn the tables around, and the media, CNN, NBC, Fox News, these stations are complicit in this crime, because these stations are actually doing things like they're showing blown up buildings and they're saying, look at the terrible strife the Israelis are suffering at the hands of Hamas, and the buildings they are showing are actually Gaza Strip. They are buildings that have been destroyed by Israeli rockets, and the suffering people they are showing in their photographs are Palestinians, and they're calling them Israelis and splashing them on the news. This is absolutely terrible. What's going on in Israel right now is a war crime. It is genocide, and it is sanctioned genocide by Western governments. Any government in the world, Stephen Harper, if you're listening to this, your government and you yourself are now complicit in a war crime. Every government that is supporting Israel in this current attack against the impoverished and besieged refugees in the Gaza Strip is in the process of carrying out a war crime. And the media are also complicit in this war crime. And it's time the people of the world stood up and said, we've had enough, because the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. This is the way they do it, folks. This is the way they discard populations. This is the way you become expendable. When they don't need you anymore, this is what they do. And that's what they're doing to the whole Western world. This is where we will go if we not pay attention to what's going on in Palestine. And they're trying to get the Arabs to respond. A lot of people are saying, where are the Arab nations on this? You know, they know if they respond, there's World War III. They want the Arabs to respond. That's one of the reasons they do this.
Yeah.
So exactly. They can inflame the Arab world, you know. Like, I'm very emotional about this. I've been up for nearly 6-7 days. I've had like a couple of hours sleep every night, you know, just smatterings of sleep. It's been horrendous going through all of this. I've got friends in the Gaza Strip. I've had friends that have been hurt, killed, injured, you know. It's just not a good scene at all, David.
Well, Max, I'm there with you, brother, and I just want to say that myself and many of my friends and family are putting out our intentions, prayers, and you know, just positive energy, trying to put that towards the people that are suffering right now over there. And you know, this, what you're talking about just reminds me of pretty much every book of history I've ever read. When you start looking at how wars start and how these things get off the ground, and when you see that there is still imperialism and the movement of, you know, these different groups that are trying to take over land, and they always have these justifications as to why they need to go and attack one person after another. It starts from, you know, even, you know, the history of looking at the Old Testament of the Bible, where there was a justification for why certain people, certain races, certain bloodlines needed to be wiped off the face of the earth. And of course, everybody says that it's always in the name of what the God or the divine prophet has foretold. And of course, this whole situation taking place with Israel and Palestine has a lot of religious overtones. And I can't help but think that there's this mix between, you know, politics and religion. And those two forces are used constantly by these elite psychopaths to sway the opinions of the people, right? And this is something that is not just happening today or the last few weeks. This is a very, very old campaign of the movement and the elimination of certain groups of people, and the you know, bringing to power and the conquest of other groups of people, right?
Well, yeah, it is, and there are certain religious overtones to it, but not from the Palestinian side. And that's another bit of spin we hear. We hear that these are Islamic extremists that want to wipe out all Jews. That's not the truth at all. The Jews and the Islamists lived together in peace for thousands of years until Zionism got involved. It's Zionism is the problem, and Zionism is so different from Judaism that they are not anything to do with each other. Judaism is simply what Zionism hides behind. It's the smokescreen of anti-Semitism. So you can't criticize a Zionist, because if you do, you're anti-Semitic. Most of these Zionists aren't even Semitic anyway. I mean, what is a Semite? A Semite is a Middle Eastern person most of these people are white-skinned Europeans. All the people who run Israel are all white-skinned European Khazars who migrated there from Europe anyway. So they're not even Semites. I mean, let's get real about all of this.
And many politicians, like, you know, regular Americans and Canadians have stood up and said that they were Zionists, and they, you know, obviously follow the ideology and support the Zionist mentality. So they're not, you know, they don't practice Judaism, you know?
Yeah, exactly. To me, I look at Zionism, I think Zionism is a psychic pathogen. I think it's a mental disease that causes people to believe they're better than everybody else and to kill everybody else who disagrees with them, and it also makes them want to go out and steal countries. I think it's a pathogen, personally. But Zionism is the problem. The religious aspects of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict come solely from the Israeli side because of the Jewish supremacist system. And when you look at the Bible is a very, very dark book. There isn't a lot of happiness in the Bible. You don't see a lot of really happy stories, you know. A lot of real bad stuff, a lot of really, really depressing stuff in the Bible. And if you look at the Israeli culture, what they've set up there, the Zionist education system, they actually teach people that the Bible is a history book. And they learn the Bible from when they start school till when they graduate, and they learn it as history. And that's what they believe. They fully believe it. And this breeds a sociopathic mentality into the people. Unfortunately, it does. I mean, we've seen people sitting on hilltops, eating popcorn and drinking beers, watching bombs go off in Gaza and cheering while these babies and children are being blown up. We've seen one of the lawmakers in Israel, a woman, no less, beautiful woman, a mother, giver of life, say that Palestinian mothers are, they need to be killed because all they do is give birth to little snakes. So we need to kill all the Palestinian mothers and their little snake children. We've had Palestinian ministers calling for genocide. We see Israeli children writing on bombs, love from Israel, knowing that the bombs are going to go and blow up Palestinian kids. Now, the mere fact that a child would think of doing something like that is because the child has been bred to think from a sociopathic perspective and have a complete disregard for any life that does not follow the Judaic principles. That, my friend, is not a sane society.
Absolutely, and I bring it up a lot, but it's a great quote from Krishnamurti when he's saying, you know, it's no measure of health to be well-adjusted to such a profoundly sick society. And I think that that's what's happened. It's happened here in the West. People have become well-adjusted to just watching this happen. And we all like to look at those pictures of all the people and camping out and watching this like as if they're watching the soccer game. But what are we doing here, folks? Are we doing the same thing? Are we sitting here and just turning away from these images, turning away from these stories because we don't want to hear it? It's too negative. You know, you've got the New Age crowd shouting, you know, don't focus on the negative and don't look at this. And these people chose their path and their lot in life before they incarnated and all this nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
And while we see this continuing, we just sit here and we do nothing. And I just think it's just absolutely horrendous. No matter what side you want to take, there are no sides, in my opinion. There is human life that is valued above, you know, we must value human life. You don't have to agree with everybody's opinion on anything, but my goodness, this is just absolutely horrendous that we can sit here and just because they don't look like us, they don't have the same skin color as us, and we can't see it in front of our face, we just sit here in complete apathy, we turn the channel, and we are pleading ignorance. And I think that that quote that we opened up the show with is exactly right. It's that we, you know, we might not be able to go out there and stop this from happening directly, but by shining a light on it, by getting that information out there, I know, Max, you've been doing that. You've been blasting all of your forums and putting all this information out and interviewing people that are there on the ground and getting that information out to people. I find that extremely valuable, and I just want to salute you, my friend, for being such a truth warrior in this whole regard.
Well, you know, I care about them. I care about people being blown up. These are children that have been killed. You know, these are defenseless children. I don't care what the media tells you, folks. If you haven't been there, you don't know. Don't believe what the media tells you because all they do is lie. If they can show you pictures of Palestine and tell you it's Israel, then why would you trust anything these people are going to say to you? You know, we have to pay attention. We've got to focus on the negative. We've got to turn and look at it because if we turn and look at it, we can heal it in one day. If we turn and focus on it. This whole idea of where attention goes, energy flows. What about that which you ignore persists? That atrocity which you ignore persists due to your choice to ignore it. What about that? What about that? We could turn and heal it, you know. If you understand the problems there, we can fix it. What really upsets me and what blows my mind is seeing people cheering on Israel and screaming out about how these terrible Palestinian terrorists need to be wiped out, and they don't know what's going on. They've never been there. They've bought into the media spin that everybody behind the wall in Gaza is a terrorist. Like I said, Hamas is an elected group. Hey, look, I was in Gaza. I got detained by Hamas. I literally, Ken O'Keefe and I, we were chatting about this last night, laughing and going, my God, how silly were we? But the balls of it and just the spontaneity of it and just what we did when we went into Gaza in 2012, we snuck in through a rebel tunnel underground, 50 meters underground for an hour and a half, crawling through this dirt tunnel, 50 meters underground through a war zone, over a kilometer long, right, into this bombed out city. We breached Hamas security. We got in there. We just hung out around town, rented a unit, got on the roof of the unit, started making videos and posting them on YouTube. You know, like,
wow.
You think about it. And then Hamas comes and knocks on our door, confiscates our passports. We get them back 6 days later. Then they grab us at the border, take us into a compound, and they say, right, you're here. And we're in this compound with them for 5 hours. They were interrogating us because we had breached their security. They wanted to know how we did it. And they wanted to know who got us in and all of this sort of stuff. And this is Hamas, right? This terrible terrorist organization. And I'll tell you what. They were really nice. They brought me tea and bickies. They made me comfortable. They did everything they could to find out. They realized that we really didn't know shit about how we got in. We didn't know where the tunnel was, and we weren't going to tell them even if we did. So they arranged a driver for us to get us back to Cairo safely because they were worried that we may not make it across the Sinai because we're just a couple of white guys. So that's my experience with Hamas, the terrible terrorist organization. They could have shot me as a spy. I breached their security. I went in their country, started making videos and posting them on the internet. Okay? Yeah. So think about that, people. These guys are freedom fighters trying to keep these people in Gaza Strip safe from the terrorist activities of the psychopathic lunatics running the terrorist state of Israel. And I have no problem saying that's what it is, because it is. It's in there bombing children right now. They dropped 400 tons of bombs on Gaza in the last week. Gaza is an area 25 miles long, 5 miles wide, walled in, 900,000 children, one of the most densely populated areas on earth, 1.8 million people, 400 tons of bombs you dropped in there. You know, and you tell this is self-defense against... Yeah. Against pipes that have been sent over that haven't killed anyone, and you've got these moronic politicians going on TV and screaming about how we must stand for Israel. Israel's a terrorist state. If you support Israel, you support terrorism. Any government that is supporting this invasion, this incursion against Gaza right now is guilty of war crimes. And the only people that are going to hold them accountable is the people themselves. So wake up, people. Stop backing the wrong side. Stop screaming about these refugees that are being killed, because I'll be coming for you next if you don't pay attention to this. If you're going to let these psychopaths in Israel sit there and eat popcorn while they're bombing children, then how safe do you think you are? I get emotional, David. I got friends in there being bombed right now, and I am so disgusted at the apathy of the human race in this issue. It's time we got up off our knees and said enough is enough. We want to be humans and we want to live together with dignity, and the one thing that prevents us doing so is government. So let's get rid of these institutions right now. We don't need them. Get rid of government and we'd all be good.
Absolutely. And, you know, Max, your emotion is definitely understandable, justified, and welcome. You know, the fact that you are a real human being. We're all real human beings having this experience. And yet the psychology behind a lot of these different agendas is for the furthest thing from human. It is inhuman. It is psychopathic. And it is something that is the opposition to life, freedom, liberty, and happiness for everybody. And even the people living in Israel, this isn't against the people living there. They're also victims of this situation as well. And with that, Max, we've got the first break coming up, so hang tight, brother. And folks, we will be back on the other side. We're back in a few minutes. We'll be talking more about the situation, so please stay put, and we'll be right back. Being here before, being here forever, that seems to be the story of the Palestinian people living in Gaza, who've constantly been getting bombarded by the military of the Israeli government. And of course, what we're talking about here is not just we're not trying to poke anything at people that live in Israel or people that have certain values, belief systems, or religious ideologies, but we're talking about a government, a rogue criminal government state that is using its power to abuse helpless, innocent people. And we are here tonight speaking to my very special guest, Max Egan. And for those that may not be aware, Max has been shouting from the rooftops about this for a long time. He's actually visited Gaza. He's been to Palestine. He's seen it with his own eyes. He's got lots of friends on the ground. He's in an emotional state now, understandable. I myself have been losing sleep on this and trying to get this information out to people because, you know, people like Max and myself, and I'm sure if you listen to this show and haven't turned us off because you think we're anti-Semitic, we care about human life and we care about justice and we want to see peace, harmony, and abundance come for everybody. We're not here to say that one group is better than another group, and we are here to stand for the people that are incapable of standing for themselves. They're not in a position over there to actually physically fight Israel and the armed forces that are waiting at the gates, and they're being bombed to oblivion right now over the past, I guess, week or so, maybe 2 weeks now, and it's just an absolutely horrific situation. The media is spinning it in every direction possible, and Max, welcome back, man. Would you say that the media itself may have a lot of this support for the Zionist agenda because it itself is ultimately controlled by a lot of the big wealthy families that are really involved with this whole Zionist notion, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I haven't seen one word of truth from the media on this issue at all. It's been shocking. And people thinking this is a religious issue and it's a big war between Arabs and Jews, it's ridiculous because the Arabs and the Jews lived in Palestine in perfect harmony for thousands of years. They were babysitting each other's children as recently as 1946 until the Zionists got involved. The Zionists from Europe, and these Zionists from Europe are mostly descendants from the Khazars who converted to Judaism anyway. I mean, we won't even get into that. That's a whole other issue to get into. But these are people who have no genetic ties or hereditary ties to the land. They're white people. You know, Semites are Middle Eastern people, dark-skinned people. Palestinians are Semites. Arabs are Semites. You know, local Israelis that come from the Holy Land of Israel that existed for centuries within Palestine are Semites. These are Semitic people, Middle Eastern people. That is a Semite. The ones that came down from Europe were not Semites. They came down and decided to turn the Holy Land of Israel into a state. And that's where it all started. And you've got to understand, I mean, these are people who suffered terribly in Europe. They were persecuted. All sorts of stuff happened. They'd found a home in Germany, and then they backstabbed the Germans through World War I, which caused World War II, and we won't even get into that. I mean, you can trace this back. This whole Zionist ideology is what basically created the whole mess that we saw after World War I, created the whole mess of World War II, and then these people were so persecuted that they were brought down to Palestine and given a country, but in doing so, the people who lived there were displaced. And that giving these refugees one country created a whole new group of refugees, which was far larger than the group that was coming down. And the Israelis and the Jews will sit there and say, no, there were never people living in Palestine. Palestine was just a place. It wasn't a country. There were no people here. But there were. There were millions of people living there. They were, no, they're just Arabs. They weren't Palestinians. Well, why not? They were living in Palestine. Of course they were bloody Palestinians. What are you talking about? And yeah, one of the arguments they have, they say to me, I've actually had Jewish people say to me, well, if Palestine had Palestinians in it before we came, name one Palestinian government that they had. Name one Palestinian leader that they had. Name one Palestinian president. And I say, well, perhaps they were intelligent people who were able to be responsible for themselves and didn't need a government. Because what is government? Government is a mechanism that's put in place by a bunch of sociopaths who have tricked the population into believing that we need them to take care of us. Well, a government is a mechanism by which these sociopaths steal everything you own and they provide a little nanny state for you to look after you because you little can't look after yourself, can you, you poor little thing? You know, that's what a government is. So you need to wake up to yourselves. We don't need government. You could govern yourself if you had the choice to be responsible. If you decided to make the choice to be responsible for yourself and respect the people around you, you could kick these criminal thieves that are creating all these wars and stealing from you out of office, put them in jail where they belong and govern yourself. I think it's about time the human race started to look at things from that perspective. I think maybe we should have grown up by now and we may not need a nanny state to steal from us and kill people around us anymore, you know?
Absolutely. And I mean, we just have to look at the situation that has happened even within our own countries. I mean, here in Canada, we used to spend no more than about $6 billion a year on military defense, and we were always hailed as being just a peacekeeper. We never really went into the crazy types of war zones in the way that the Americans did. So we had a lot of respect around the world, but now because of the Harper administration, we're now spending over, you know, $25 billion a year or something ridiculous like that now on military spending. We're sending all these jets over. We were a part of what they did to Syria. We were a part of what's happened in Iraq and Afghanistan. We were a part of, you know, everything, because we are, of course, part of the G8. I mean, not even just the G20 nations. We are actually part of the small, special elect group of nations that get to partake in this continued Western assault on the Middle East. And we've seen all kinds of propaganda coming out ever since 9/11 and the invasion of Iraq, where, like you said, Max, they couldn't even figure out the reason that and the appropriate enemy. You know, first day it was Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden. They couldn't decide which one. And then they didn't know what reason they were going to go in and invade these people. And they figured, okay, it's weapons of mass destruction. And then George Bush couldn't find it. He was looking under his desk. He was looking under people's chairs. He couldn't find them there, making jokes about it. They never found them, still haven't found them. And, you know, over 2 million people suffered as a result of that. And these are the people telling you to support the state of Israel who are doing the same thing to the Palestinians. I mean, I don't know, Max, do you think that this has anything to do with a desire to bring about another global conflict?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the reasons why they don't wipe the Palestinians out completely. And they keep, when they do go in there and obliterate them, they do it with such ferocity and such animosity and with such brutal disregard for human life. They do it to try to inflame the Arab world. Israel has been attempting to kickstart World War III ever since its creation. Israel will tell you all it wants is peace, but it will do everything it possibly can to prevent peace from happening. This is the way it works. Oh, poor us, poor this, poor us. We're the victim, we're the victim. And they're running out and creating all the conflict they can. And they do it, it's all very, very masked. You know, everything's always backwards. You know, we are so peaceful while we're creating war. You know, look at the Israeli army. It's called the Israeli Defense Force. And all it does is carry out acts of aggression on its neighbors. It's not defending anything. It's attacking all the time. That's all it does. But it's always...
Wasn't one of the bombing raids in this situation called, like, Operation Brothers Keeper or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, yeah, this is the mentality of these people. I mean, look at the 2008-2009 confrontation they did in Gaza. It was called Cast Lead, right? Just cast lead over this population of children. Just cover the whole place in lead, you know? It's a sick, sick culture, you know. But like we can fix this. I think all of these things are causing to wake the human race up. Now, for me, I'm sick of my government. I'm sick of this slavery system. I'm not their slave. I'm not a name. I'm not any of the stuff that you think I am. I'm a free living entity, and I will not take shit from any of you anymore. And I'll call you out, any of you. And I keep saying, any politician, any news reporter, come on, let's have a debate. Let's go on air and have a debate, public debate with any politician or any mainstream reporter on this planet. Let's go head to head and let's talk about all this stuff. Because I'm not taking a backward step to these people anymore. And I'm going to expose them for what they are. And it's time we all stood up and stood in our power and stopped this mess from happening. You know, like, we can change the direction the ship of state is sailing, but we have to take responsibility for the direction that it's going. You know, because all of these problems are happening because our governments are out of control, and they only remain out of control because we're too scared to exercise the power that we have. You know, and we're divided from each other. We don't live in united communities. We're always battling each other over religious differences or social differences or economic differences or all of this rubbish that's been put there for us to keep us divided. And these sorts of events in Gaza right now are giving us the opportunity to wake up to ourselves and stand up and respect human life. That's all we have to do, is stand up and respect human life. If we did that, the whole world would change. Don't expect your governments to do it. They're not going to. They create this whole mess. Like I said, a government is a mechanism by which it steals from you, it sends your children out to die, and it teaches you that you can't look after yourself. Well, screw them. I can look after myself, and I don't need you, and I'm not your slave, and I will not do what you say anymore.
Well said, and absolutely. And that may seem extreme for people, but then you just have to start looking at the extreme actions of what we call government and really look at the history of how government was foisted on you. Remember that we've all been born into the system, and none of us live old enough or long enough to actually have the objective point of view to look back and see the same lies repeated again and again and again. Although because of the climate that we live in, they seem to have to ramp up this continual push towards stripping us of our liberties at home while, you know, spreading chaos, death, and destruction abroad. And the only way they can do that is when people aren't paying attention at what's really happening in front of their own eyes. And like we were talking about, that whole apathetic mindset. And when we've got the media there, the only reason the media has the power that it does is because we keep turning it on and listening to these people, because they get on there with their, you know, their big shiny suits, their big smile, their, you know, look at the makeup artists behind the scenes and making the image crystal clear so it seems credible, because we also worship money and success and all of these things as well. And in so many ways, we are being led to our own destruction in so many words. And a lot of people here in Canada, they just, you know, they think that we're immune from all of this. But the truth is that we are completely now, we are now complicit in it. Our nation is now complicit in it. And so that means we do have responsibility with what's going on. So this is something we do have to start talking about. I mean, I've been hearing the conversations with all my friends and people I know talking about the soccer game or the latest UFC or whatever. And that's all fine and good, but there is more than a soccer game going on in the world, folks. There is the ultimate geopolitical game that we all need to start paying attention to, because otherwise we're the ones that are going to be the losers. What do you think about that, Max?
Yeah, absolutely. I said to my friends, and I think I posted on Facebook or said on a radio show a couple of weeks ago, that while this crisis in the Ukraine is happening, and while the World Cup is going on, keep one eye on Gaza and watch what they do. Because every time there is a major distraction like this, they go in and they pound the shit out of the Gaza Strip. And this time they've exceeded all expectations in what they've done. You know, they really have. You know, we don't have to do this anymore. We really don't. We don't have to do this anymore. We can bring these systems down. We can bring our governments down. All we got to do is rediscover ourselves. I'm going to get something completely on a different topic here for a second, because this is something you can apply to your own life. And this is something I'm going to do as well. And I'll backstep for a second. I got a bill in the mail yesterday. I went to my mailbox and I got a tax bill. The government says I owe them $2,500 tax. I put I put it straight back, and I wrote on the bill, I said, I refuse to pay tax to any government that is supporting the current genocide in Gaza. And I sent it back to them. And I'll allow them to take me to court over that. And when I go to court, the first thing I'll be saying to them is, I know about your name fraud. And if you're going to take me to court, I'm going to play the name game with you, and I'm going to call you out on the name fraud that you are using to enslave this population. Now, the name fraud is a really important issue, because it's how we can all navigate ourselves through the legal system. So you can stand up against the government, and you can take the stance that I'm taking. You can say the things I'm saying. You can speak your mind, speak it peacefully, speak it eloquently. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to attack anybody. I don't want to put anybody in jail. I just want you to leave me the hell alone so I can get on with the work of fixing the world that you guys have messed up. That's my attitude towards government. Now, on my website, there's a link to a video called Babylon is Fallen. This is a come right out of the blue from left field. This has been written by a Canadian transvestite. Get that one. Okay. And they explain to you the name fraud, how you are caught up in the slavery system by believing you are your name. It's very, very simple to understand. And this is a mechanism that everybody can use to navigate themselves through the legal system. I've just told the government I'm refusing to pay tax to it anymore. The government will take me to court over this. And when I go to court, I will call them out on name fraud. And that is how you do it, folks. And it's important that we learn this. You've got to remember who you are, people. You don't need looking after. You don't need a nanny state. You don't need a criminal government that is sending your children off to kill other children in countries to support a corporate economic model. We don't need this anymore. We don't need to be destroying the world with radiation from Fukushima. We don't need to be having wars. We don't need to be building everything in our society to break in order to support this economic model, because all we're doing is pulling resources out of the earth and turning it into rubbish because it's good for the economy. The economy is fiction, folks. It's figures on a screen. It's digits. It doesn't mean anything. You can't eat it. You can't touch it. You can't hug it. You can't care for it. It isn't you. It isn't people. It isn't feeling. It isn't emotion. It isn't real. It's a fiction which is destroying this planet. And it's time we woke up to ourselves and stood in our power and took this world back. Because if we don't, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world, and it will be our fault because we didn't pay attention. And we didn't choose to stand in the power that we've got. And I urge everybody to go and look at that document, Babylon Has Fallen, written by Kate of Gaia. Whatever you think about transvestites, whatever you think about all of this stuff, the sovereignty movement, or all of this stuff, this kind of bypasses the whole lot of all of that, okay? It's a great document, and people need to take this on board and start approaching the system from the perspective of being someone who is alive, not a dead corpse who is a name. You are not a name, you are alive. And that was a little segue and a sidestep. I think it's very, very important information, because if we all apply this to the world, we all apply this to our lives, we will change things, and we can do it this year. We can change things very, very rapidly if we choose to step into our power. And if we, through this mechanism, we can take our governments on. And if we can control our governments, we can stop them supporting the type of terrorism that Israel is currently meting out to the Palestinian people. Because it's only doing through finances that it's receiving from our governments. Because we've all been brainwashed to believe that this is God's chosen people. It says so in the book they wrote, so it must be true. And all, I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. We've got to wake up to ourselves. What it is people. And the whole concept of fighting and bombing people so you can steal land and own a country, you can't own a country anyway. What do you think you are? You're only here for 50 or 100 years. The Earth's been here for 4.5 billion. You don't own anything. The Earth owns you. You don't own anything. You can't own the Earth. The whole concept of ownership is bullshit. The concept of ownership is what has brought about all these wars to begin with. You don't own the Earth. It's the Earth. God, you know, what happened to us, David? What happened to us? How do we get into this mentality that we actually think we could own the Earth, and we're willing to kill people over a little piece of dirt that we can sit on for the next 50 years until we die? It's ridiculous, you know?
Well, absolutely, and it's a good point as to how this happened, because obviously there have been those nefarious elements throughout our history that have been trying to influence the multitudes of people to remain in a position of ignorance as to who and what they are, to remain in a position of ignorance that it's a complete illusion that this whole idea of owning land and owning people and putting a flag in the ground and declaring it your land and wiping out all the people that used to live there and then all this kind of stuff. With the fact that we've been ignorant of it is a big thing, but the other thing is that we're also afraid of our own shadow. I mean, one of the things that's been done to us, the way I see it, is that we've all been mind controlled into a state of fear. And we're constantly bombarded by fear. We don't even, I work in a martial arts studio on a daily basis, and I meet really good, like amazing, well-intentioned people. But my job is to try to turn them into warriors. And warriors not for going out and causing, mayhem, but just being an empowered human being that can navigate their way through life without having to bend their back to somebody that's trying to, tell them what to do and how to think about themselves. You know, we're talking about empowerment here. And so I think one of the biggest things that's been done to the human race, when I look back historically, is that we've been severed from our own internal innate power. And that's what we are. We are here to be creators. We're not here to be slaves. And yet we find ourselves in a position of slavery, whether you're in Gaza right now being bombed to oblivion, or whether you're here in Canada or in Australia or in the US or anywhere else in the world where you think you've got it good. You are still in one form or another supporting or outright a victim of slavery of one form or another. And the only reason that I can think of, Max, is that we've been disempowered from our natural state of being, which would be to be in symbiotic harmony with the planet and with each other and being empowered and being strong and having courage. And yet we've been now turned into spineless, muted, ignorant, slaves. And it sounds extreme, but my goodness, look around at the world. Look around at people around you and tell me if I'm speaking lies here.
Well, it's true. It's true. And fear-based mind control is the whole thing. I mean, that's what it's all about. A fear of everything, mate. Fear of everything and fear of being ourselves. That's the whole thing. Now, we can get through it. We can get through this. This is a special time in history. We will get through this. Now, the situation in Gaza is giving us a wake-up call. They're not actually bombing actually in Gaza City at the moment. I spoke to my friend just before the show. They're actually bombing north of Gaza City and south of Gaza City. But they've brought ground troops in. There is ground troops in northern Gaza at the moment. So
they've actually come right in, eh? Wow.
Yeah, there is. There is. The army has come over the border. So we'll just see where they're going to go with all of that. But, we do have a chance to change things here, David. We really do. And I think it's important that we take that opportunity to do it, and remember who we are. Because it is all about, it's because we've forgotten who we are. That's been the basis of the whole thing. That's what keeps us in this state. Yeah. We have an opportunity to fix that, and we have to do it. We have to seize the opportunity and stop this madness,
I couldn't agree with you more, Max. And we got about 6 minutes left before the half point of the show. And I know you got a lot of stuff to get back to, and hopefully you can get some rest, mate. But basically, I just wondered if you could sum up. You've done a lot of work traveling around the world and interacting with various indigenous peoples and shamans and teachers. And, you know, what kind of piece of advice could you give people coming from knowledge that we maybe used to have? If we've gone through this period of forgetting and we've forgotten who and what we are, every time I look back at a lot of the wisdom that's come out of, you know, a lot of these indigenous cultures and whatnot, I just see that there was once a complete awareness of a connectivity to Mother Nature and to each other and to community and to family values. And, you know, you've traveled the world extensively and interact with so many great people. What could you leave people with here today that some of this ancient knowledge that maybe we could apply in a modern context?
Look, we are all connected. The earth is alive. It is living. You can hear it. You can talk to it. You can communicate with the earth. You can do this. It's an energetic thing, but you can. We're all connected, Dave. We're all here. I mean, really, when you look at it, each one of us is simply a different frequency of the same consciousness, experiencing the world from one certain perspective. You know, and that's why such evil exists in the world, because it has to. Because without that evil, we wouldn't have the ultimate good. Without the choice to go wrong, we wouldn't have the opportunity to go right. You know, So that's what this Ngaza is providing us with. This is an opportunity for human consciousness to really, really evolve. That's why these bad things happen, and they're going to keep getting worse until we choose to evolve. You know, we're not waking up yet. Well, okay, we'll have this. Put this in your face. You know, are we waking up yet? You know, but people just have to step back and look at things realistically. What we're dealing with here is life, and nobody wants war. Everywhere you go, nobody wants war. And this whole talk of Islamic extremism and all this sort of stuff, Islamic extremism was actually started by the United States, books that were published in Pennsylvania University. That's when the first ideas of Islamic extremism came out. The whole extremist edge of Islam was created by America in order to convince the Mujahideen in the war that they had with Russia that the Russians weren't just attacking their country, they were attacking their faith. So
yeah, exactly.
The CIA literally created religious extremism, religious extreme Islam, in order to fight the Russians, because they wanted Afghanistan to become the Russians' Vietnam, which would destroy Russia. And it did. It did exactly what Vietnam did to America, only even worse. It completely broke down the Soviet Empire, the Afghan War, that America kept going and trained those fighters and created this extreme element, which ended up turning into these guys are out there nuts blowing up things, and none of these guys are actually following their religion. Nobody from any faith, whether they be Christian, Jew, or Muslim, who causes violence against another person, can be accused of being a representative of their religion, because all monotheistic religions are religions of peace. That's the fucking thing. How do you, shouldn't have sworn there, but that's the thing. You know,
it's all good.
How do you do that? These guys aren't religious extremists. The guys that are blowing people up, they're not representing their religion at all. They're just extremists. They're brainwashed extremists that are brainwashed by a mentality that was introduced to them by the United States of America. So who's to blame for all of this? You know, we can put all of this aside, just step back from the whole lot and realize that what we're dealing with here are people. And if we were to suddenly respect each other, all of these religious differences would fade away. Don't put your faith over life. You know, people are alive. They're the same as you. We're like each other. Why would you want to harm anybody? You know, it doesn't make sense to me, David. Why we wouldn't do this? Why we wouldn't step back and look at this way?
And we can disagree with people. We can have discussions and debates. And I mean, debates are actually, to me, they're quite thrilling, because everybody learns something, and it's important that
Absolutely.
We explore new ideas. But we don't have to go kill each other and wipe out entire bloodlines and races of people because we disagree with their view.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. I mean, this is how we grow, by discussing things and debating things. But all of this stuff, it's all been contrived, and we can step back from the whole lot. If we were to turn and respect each other, then we could heal the world in a day. And really, I think we don't, because we don't respect ourselves, because we measure ourselves to artificial parameters that are provided for us by the system. You know, we've got to look this way or act this way or reach this level on the social ladder or the economic ladder. I mean, this is stuff I go through on my show all the time. I've said this like ad nauseum on air, that all of these parameters that you're given to measure yourself up to are all fiction, that you, each one of you out there, is absolutely perfect, because you are perfect at being you. No one can be you better than you, and no one can experience the world from your perspective better than you. No one can gather that information better than you, and that's what you're here to do, obviously, because that's who you are. Makes sense to me. So where's the problem? That's the perspective everybody's got. They've all got the unique perspective. They're here to gather that information. It's what to do with it. How do you improve the world by your presence in it? Once you can really understand the perfection of yourself, and you can just be amazed in the fact that you're even here experiencing this, suddenly you respect people around you. All the barriers break down. And I find that most of the differences people have with each other is because they don't truly understand themselves. They don't understand the beauty of what they actually are.
That's couldn't agree more, Max, and I'm really sorry to cut you off, mate, but we're going to break here, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you so much for taking this time with me. I hope you get some rest, and if you want to come back on at any time to give us any updates, please do. Folks, thecrowhouse.com, check out Max's work. Look into this for yourself. Make up your own mind, and Max, thanks again, brother, for coming on.
My pleasure, David. Thanks for asking me.
Awesome. All right, folks, we're going to break. We'll be back here with hour number 2 in a few minutes, so stay put. And don't go anywhere.